I don't know how this message is going to come out. I told you, let me just tell you what happened. I went to bed last night thinking about what I was going to preach tonight. And I send Adam the bulletin information. I sent it to him yesterday about 5 o'clock. And in that information, I include my sermon titles and the scripture reading. And I was going to preach a sermon. You notice it from the bulletin called Our Eyes Are Upon Thee. And it was from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And that's the chapter in 2 Chronicles that deals with one of the stories about King Jehoshaphat. He was about to go into battle, and he was outmanned and outgunned. And God came to him before the battle, and he said, "Now listen, King, this battle is not yours, it's mine. You won't need to fight, all you'll need to do is just watch and see me work." And my text verse was going to be verse 12 in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where the Bible says, this is King Jehoshaphat speaking, he says, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee." And my points were going to be, and again, I won't give them all to you. I might preach it again sometime. But my points were going to be, sometimes we fight battles that God doesn't want us to fight. Sometimes we get into the thick of things, and all he wants us to do is stand back and put our eyes on him. The battles come so that we can do that. The battles come so that we can learn to trust him. And the battles come so that we can see what he can do. One of those battles we fight that's not ours is the battle for salvation. Too many people are trying to work out their own salvation, not the way the Bible talks about working it out, but they're trying to save themselves by what they do. And the Bible says, "It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself." And too many of us try to save ourselves, and that is not possible. So that was a sermon I was going to preach. I had it outlined on the computer. I mean, I made myself an outline on the computer. And I had just printed my morning sermon out. I mean, I just hit the button, you know, and the printer turned on and, you know, it spit out the pages of my notes. And so I hit the button to print out my outline for tonight, and there was a message that came up on the screen, "Virus detected, unable to print." And I said, "What is this? What do you mean virus? I mean, I just typed this stuff in. How can there be a virus? I don't have a virus. I'm not sick. So how can there be a virus?" And so I saved it and then tried to go to that file that I saved. I hit the print button. Same thing. Virus detected, unable to print. And so, I mean, I tried 6 or 7 different things. It took me about 2 hours just to try to print out my outline. And I could never get it to print out. I mean, it just virus detected, unable to print. And as I was going to bed, I said, "Lord, if you don't want me to preach this message, then tell me." And it was like a voice. I mean, I didn't hear a voice, but it was like somebody saying to me, "Hey, dummy, I've been trying to tell you that for the past 2 hours. Why don't you listen?" And so I went to bed. And again, I was thinking about what I was going to preach tonight. And about 2 o'clock, and I looked at the clock, it was 1:58. 1:58, I'm sound asleep, I hear a beep. Beep. My phone beeps when somebody sends me a text message. So it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you know your immediate reaction when somebody calls you or sends you a text message at 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, you know, somebody's usually died, or somebody usually is on their way to the hospital. And I thought about several of our families that are going through a tough time right now. I said, "Lord, just don't let it be one of them. Just please." I said, "Well, maybe it's Adam. You know, sometimes he stays up late, and maybe there's something he needs to tell me before tomorrow. He doesn't think that I'll, you know, wake up and hear this, and I'll be able to see it first thing in the morning." So I get out of bed, turn a light on, find my glasses, find my phone, and look down at the phone, and it says, "Battery low." low. Now, just so you know, I usually keep an eye on my charge status. I have a little battery on my phone. It has 4 bars. And I usually try to keep a close watch on it. When it gets down to the first bar, I always plug it in so that it will recharge. So, we don't have a hard line at home, so it's my cell phone is my only phone. And people, you know, need to get a hold of me, so I try to keep it charged up. But I must have missed it yesterday. So, again, at 1:58, I hear this beep. It wakes me up. I get up. I look at the phone. It says, battery low. And again, I didn't hear a voice. It's like the Lord spoke to me and says, okay, there's your message. Battery low. And so tonight I preach a sermon that I've entitled, Recharge. Recharge. Those of you who have a cell phone know when you get that message, battery low, it means that your cell phone won't function too much longer. Okay? Your battery is about to die. And if you're in a place where you can't plug it in, you know, I know some people have something they can plug into their in their car and recharge their battery. And many of you probably have, like me, I got something I can plug into my phone and plug into the outlet at the wall. But when I'm in a place where I can't recharge my battery, and I get that message, battery low, my behavior changes. Okay? And in my, I submit to you tonight that maybe you haven't realized, but I want you to think with me about it tonight. Your behavior probably changes a little bit too. When you get that message, battery low, and you're not in a position where you can recharge your phone. The first thing that happens that doesn't happen when you got a full strength, the battery, is that you're a little bit hesitant to make calls and send messages. You're not sure how much longer the battery will last, and unless it's an emergency, you won't call or send a text, because with the battery low, you never know how long it's going to last, and it could die while you're in the middle of a conversation or sending a text message. And so we are hesitant to use the phone for the purpose that it was intended to be used, to make calls and to send messages. The second way our behavior changes, we become apologetic. If we do call somebody, we apologize right at the very beginning. And we say something like this, hey, my battery's low. If we're cut off in the middle of the conversation, it's not that I'm hanging up on you. It's that my battery died. And if it dies when I'm talking to you, please don't get mad at me. And please don't think that I hung up on you because I didn't want to talk to you. It's just that my battery died. And when I get to a place where I can recharge my phone, I'll call you back. It may not happen during that call. I mean, we may make it through the whole call, but we apologize at the beginning because, it could die and we could be cut off from the person that we're talking to. And if we don't do something, if we don't get to the place that we can recharge, the phone eventually is going to shut down. It will be absolutely worthless. I mean, that instrument that was made to receive incoming calls and place outgoing calls, to receive incoming text and send outgoing text, and I know that it does a bunch of other stuff, but those are the only things that I've figured out on my phone. I mean, some of you I know use it for a lot of different reasons. But if your battery goes dead, that phone ceases to do what it was made to do and essentially becomes a useless piece of equipment because it has no power. The battery is dead. I found, and my experience has been, that Christians with low power act in very similar ways. Christians that are not constantly being filled up by the Holy Spirit, Christians that are not being constantly filled with His power, change their behavior as well. And again, let me just mention them to you. This is the same thing that we do with our phones. We are hesitant to do anything. I mean, when we get low on Holy Spirit power, we are hesitant to do anything. We won't witness. We won't pass out tracts. We won't stand for right. Sometimes we don't even read the Bible or pray. And we don't come to church. And we say things like this. Well, what's the use? What difference will it make? What difference can I make? I am only one person. I can't change anything. It won't do any good. I might as well do nothing. And just like we do with our phones, when that battery is low and we become hesitant to use the phone that in the way that it was made to be used, when we get low on Holy Spirit power, we become hesitant to do the things that God made us to do. We get hesitant to do the things that He's called us to do. We get hesitant to do the things that He's commanded us to do. And if we do something, we become apologetic. And here's what we say. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. I don't want to make anybody feel bad. And here's how we think if we're not careful. They have their religion. I have mine. And it doesn't matter that their religion may send them to hell. It doesn't matter that in their religion they may never hear about Jesus and the price that He paid on Calvary. When our power gets low, we take the attitude, well, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. And if we say anything at all, we almost apologize for saying it. And if we don't do something, if we don't recharge, here's what's going to happen. We're going to shut down. Just like that phone, if you don't recharge it, eventually loses all its power. And again, don't anybody leave here and say, the preacher says we're going to lose the Holy Spirit. Let me just be perfectly clear. As a child of God, you will never lose the Holy Spirit. He never moves out. Once He moves in, He's moved in to stay. And I don't care how badly we treat Him. I don't care how much we ignore Him. He will never leave us or forsake us. But sometimes when we don't allow Him to fill us, sometimes when we don't claim His power and we don't recharge, if we're not careful, we're going to shut down. We're going to cease to do what we were made to do. And there'll be no sharing Christ. There'll be no good works so that they can see our Father in heaven and glorify Him. And we'll do nothing and become useless. So I was thinking early this morning, about 2:15, because I got up and made myself an outline, and then I finished it up this afternoon. I was thinking about 2:15 this morning, wouldn't it be wonderful if Christians had a buzzer that buzzed when they were low on Holy Spirit power? Wouldn't that be neat? Buzz! Buzz! Hey, you're low on Holy Spirit power. Buzz! Buzz! You're becoming hesitant. Buzz! Buzz! You're becoming apologetic. Buzz! Buzz! If you don't do something, you're about to close down and become useless to God. You know, I thought about, I was talking to my class about it Tuesday night at school. You know, we got these things in our car that tell us we're about to run out of gas. Mine chimes. When it gets down to a certain point, it chimes. I can't make a chime sound, but it chimes. And then it stops, and you drive for a little bit further. And the chimes start again, but this time they're a little bit closer together. And then it closes down, and if you keep driving, it starts chiming again. And they're closer together and louder. And I told my class, I said, you know, if anybody really thought about it, they'd put a voice-activated system in the car that when you reached a certain point, it would quit chiming, and it would say, hey, dummy, you're about to run out of gas. Why don't you stop and get some, or I'm going to stop. And wouldn't it be great, again, if we had a buzzer that went off that we could hear that said, hey, you're getting low on Holy Spirit power. So early this morning, I got my charger, and I plugged in my phone, and I plugged it into the socket so I could recharge my phone. Here's what I found. I found if I use my phone, the more I use my phone, the more often it needs to be recharged. In fact, I found if I use my phone at all, I need to recharge it every 2 or 3 days. And again, I found instead of waiting for the buzz, I keep my eye on that little battery that I got on my screen, and when it gets down to 1 bar, I plug it in so I don't hear the buzz at 2 o'clock in the morning or any other time of day. Now, since we as Christians don't have that low spirit indicator, I submit to you tonight that we need to keep our eye on the level of Holy Spirit power that we have. And when we find ourselves getting low, we need to recharge. Because I'll tell you, God does not want us to be hesitant. He wants us to become all things to all men so that we can save some. Every single person has people in your life, as well as I have people in my life, that we can influence for the Savior. We have people that we can tell about Jesus. Brother Leonard reviewed it in Sunday school with us this morning. That's our responsibility. That's why God made us. And again, if you don't have a burden for somebody that doesn't know Jesus, you need to think about them going to hell. You need to think about them spending eternity apart from God. You need to think about that unless somebody tells them about Jesus, they're going to die with no hope and have no hope of ever escaping that eternal damnation that God has prepared for Satan, but will send every single person that rejects Christ to, and they'll stay there forever and ever and ever, and you need to let that picture break your heart and go out and tell them about Jesus. God does not want us to be hesitant. He does not want us to be apologetic. He wants us to be bold. Acts 4:13 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Hey, I can fall into that category. In most things, I am unlearned and ignorant. But I can be bold for Jesus Christ, and that's what he wants from us. He does not want us to say, well, I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. What he wants us to do is tell people that they are sinners, and there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is separation from God, and unless they come to Jesus Christ, they're going to pay that penalty. Now, you don't need to be apologetic about that because that's not your message. That's God's message. And you don't need to worry about offending somebody because if you don't offend them, they may die and go to hell never having heard about the Savior. So I say, if they're going to be offended by you loving them enough to tell them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by them, let them be offended. If it's going to make them be uncomfortable, let them be uncomfortable because they need to hear the truth that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Now, I know. I know the world says today, no. You don't want to do that. You want to use kindness and love, and you want to love them into heaven. And I'm all for being kind, and I'm all for loving people. Hopefully you that have been around a while know that most of the time I try to be kind and most of the time I try to love people, but there comes a point where we need to get off the fence, and there comes a point where we need to quit worrying about what somebody's going to think about us and if we're going to offend them or not or if they're going to feel uncomfortable or not, and we need to tell them the truth, the gospel truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, it doesn't matter if their religion teaches something different. Their religion is wrong. Are we right or are we wrong? And if we're right, like the Sunday school lesson said this morning, if Jesus is the way, then we have the responsibility to tell other people regardless of how uncomfortable it makes them feel, regardless if it's going to offend them or not. Hey, if we're not right, I mean, if there's another way besides what this book says, if we're not right, we need to close our doors and get out of this business. But we are right, because that's what that book says. And God doesn't want us to be apologetic. He wants us to be bold. Let me finish that verse for you. It says, they saw the boldness, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. When they saw their boldness. God doesn't want us to be hesitant. He doesn't want us to be apologetic. He doesn't want us to become useless. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We never want to be like the salt that's mentioned in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Now, again, I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd tonight. I know that. But listen to me. Christianity is a lot like your phone. The more you do for God, the more you need to keep your battery charged up. The more you need to keep Holy Spirit power. We don't work on our own power. Nothing we do for God is... If we're working for God on our own power, we're going to burn out and we're going to quit real quick. We work as the Holy Spirit works through us and empowers us. That's why Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. And as we talked about on Wednesday night, it's not a one-time filling. It's being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit over and over and over again. I mentioned Wednesday night, when you get saved, you get all the Holy Spirit you're going to get. Question is, how much does he get of us? How much does he get of us? How much of us is he allowed to fill? He will fill every part that we yield to him. But it's a constant thing. We need to keep yielding to him so he'll keep filling us so that he can still work through us. So how do we recharge? I mean, I just told you, I plugged my phone in, into the power. Well, how do I recharge? How do I recharge my level of Holy Spirit power? It's already 7 o'clock, but let me give you three quick things. Number one, I stay in this book. I stay in the Bible. I stay in the Word of God. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the Spirit of truth, or the Spirit guides me into truth, the Word of God. And as Hebrews 4:15 says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful. And I need the power of the Word of God to keep my Holy Spirit power level up. Number two, pray. 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 1 Corinthians 4:15, I will pray with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us pray. When we don't know how to word our prayer, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit helps us pray to the Father and helps us ask for things that when we don't know how to ask. And as God answers prayer and shows us great and mighty things that we know us not, we get power, Holy Spirit power, to continue to work. And then number three, come to church. Come to church, Sunday school, church in the morning, church at night. I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. Good. Wednesday night. Every time the door is open, we ought to come to this place. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Verse 24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Look, we need to be provoked and exhorted. We are provoked and exhorted when we come to this place. You know, the Sunday school lesson exhorts us and provokes us. Hopefully the sermons provoke and exhort us. Hopefully the songs that we sing and the specials that are sung provoke us and exhort us. Hopefully just the fellowship of coming and being with other Christians and seeing their example and seeing how God uses them exhorts us and provokes us. And again, I don't have a buzzer, and you don't have a buzzer that goes off and says, buzz, 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 buzz. You're getting low on Holy Spirit power. But I dare say that if that... See, God gives you an illustration right where you need it. I don't have a buzzer, and you don't either. Does that mean it's 7 o'clock, time to quit? But listen, we don't have a buzzer. But if we're honest with ourselves, we can tell when we're getting low on Holy Spirit power. We can. We need to get in this book. We need to get on our knees. We need to come to this place, and we need to let the Holy Spirit fill us. Fill us. Fill us. So that we can do what God has called us to do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for directing what you want preached from this place. And I pray, Father, you'd always help me to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, that they would see that they're a sinner. And there's a penalty for that sin. But then when Jesus went to the cross, he paid the price. He paid the penalty. And if we come and ask him, he'd save us. And I pray, Father, if there's just one person here tonight that's never asked Jesus to save them, that right now, right where they sit, they'd look to heaven and they'd pray to your son, say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please save me. Please save me. And just a second when we give the invitation that they would come walk the aisle, confess him before us. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to realize that what we do for you, we do in the Holy, with the Holy Spirit's help. Without him, we can do nothing. And I pray, Father, that we would yield ourselves more and more to him, that we'd want more and more of his power so that we could do more and more for you. Bless this time of invitation. Use it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.